Hello everyone, this is Christian Verwijs.
And this is Barry Overeem from The Liberators.
And we're here for another podcast, another Scrum Conversation. This is the end of day one of a professional Scrum Master class. We're currently in the Volkshotel in the training room. So if you hear some background noise, traffic and such, then that's the reason why. So how are we feeling, Barry, after day one?
Energized. So a positive signal was that it was quite difficult to sort of like close the training. A lot of participants wanted to continue sharing the conversations that they were having. And one of those conversations is also sort of like the reason that we're doing this podcast, this episode, because it's a Professional Scrum Master 2 class, which means that we have participants with a lot of experience. And one of the more experienced participants was sharing a story with me that he sort of had an epiphany about sort of like his view on the Scrum framework that was sort of like triggered by a explanation that we did about a sheet which is called Not Scrum, which obviously you cannot see. But it's a poster that contains complementary practices that might be useful if you are working with Scrum, but you don't have to use them. They are not mandatory parts of the Scrum framework. And what we see happening a lot in organizations is that Scrum, in essence, is a lightweight framework. You only got a couple of roles, events, and artifacts, and that's basically it. And what we see happening a lot in organizations is that it turns out into a heavy weight framework, and it becomes a heavyweight framework because they are adding a lot of practices, for example.
Why are they doing that? Because it's totally valid observation.
Yeah.
Scrum is often very heavy in organizations how they use it, but why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know why they are using it. Probably they stumble upon a problem and they think a solution is adding a practice. For example, they need to give an estimate on how long it's going to take before work is finished, and for that reason they figure out, let's use story points. And somehow it seems to make sense to capture all the work that needs to be done in user story format. But it could also be that it becomes a guideline amongst those organizations that all the teams need to write down work in user stories and estimate the work in story points. Then it becomes more a company policy. But I think it's something that over time just sort of like, I don't know, it just becomes a habit of using it, and then it becomes de facto standard, and it's, I think people are not even aware that they are making it a heavyweight framework, because that's also sort of the insight that the person today had. It's sort of like, oh crap, all the things that I'm doing in my organization is sort of like, it's not Scrum, but it might be the reason that the team is sort of like becoming so slow and having difficulties with using Scrum.
So one of the things that you often notice and that we also see and that some of the participants also noticed is that you have teams that work with story points, user stories, they have Jira, they have definition of ready maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that adds baggage. So if you have story points, then refinement takes a long time because everyone has to get out the planning poker cards and it takes hours to just estimate a couple of stories.
Yeah.
You have user stories, people spend a lot of time trying to squeeze very clear idea into the user story format. Definition of ready, where development teams keep ping-ponging back the items for the product backlog to the product owner because it's not clear enough. Test case wasn't written, so we can't do it. So it kind of makes it all a bit bureaucratic.
Yeah,
I would say.
And if you would ask the question, so how helpful is, for example, story points for you? Then often the answer is not really. It's used to trigger a good conversation, which is the entire purpose of story points. But nowadays, it's more like using for reports and tracking if we are delivering according the amount of story points we've promised. Yeah. And then teams get compared to each other. So which team is delivering the most story points? And of course, that's useless to do it like that, because then everyone is just going to estimate their work in higher story points, so that's going to work against them.
there's an interesting challenge there, because if I tell people, then stop using story points, then the first thing they usually ask, it happened today as well, so then how do I know how much time it's going to take?
Mm.
And I think that's really interesting, because it kind of shows you a little bit that for many people working with Scrum, it's still unclear why they're using Scrum, and that it's complex work, and that you just don't know, that you don't know when it's done, because, well, by that I mean the whole product. You don't know. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening during the sprint, during coming sprints, that you don't expect.
Yeah.
So the best way to answer that question is to say, okay, we have a done increment every single sprint. But that's such a paradigm shift that people don't see it. And then they start using story points so they can tell the stakeholder, this product will be done when we've burned through 500 story points and we're doing 20 story points per sprint. So now you can calculate how many sprints it takes.
Yeah.
So it's still false.
Yeah.
False predictability.
Yeah. Yeah. And often I hear about story points, it's so tangible. It's so tangible to say we've delivered that many points. Mm. But in essence, it's not tangible at all. Delivering a done increment, that's tangible.
Yeah.
It's, this is done. So focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it might be a difficult, it might be a gap that organizations or teams need to sort of like cover, moving from story points or some other technique to really focus on done increments.
Can we just admit one thing to our listeners?
Yeah, that we were using story points as well.
So we've been guilty of this. Yeah. And same goes for using user stories and all the other things.
Yeah.
So I think when I started out as a Scrum Master, the first thing that I did was start with story points.
Yeah.
By planning poker decks, get people around the table and start doing planning poker. Set up Jira with a workflow that I controlled.
But a lot of work that we do nowadays in organizations is making Scrum a lightweight framework again.
And, what changed for us? Why are we focusing on this now and not on story points and user stories and all these other practices?
For me, it was because I noticed it just wasn't useful anymore. For example, like, again, user stories, it should be about a story you're having with the user. So what is the story that the user has in mind, what is the problem that that person would like to see solved by building the product? And I noticed more and more that people were using user stories, but the user was, there was no user. And if you would ask who is the user, and they were like, we don't know.
We think the user wants this. As a user, I want to, and then sort of make assumptions because they never talk to the user.
Yeah. So for me, what changed is that perception that a lot of those possible possible useful practices, were just not helpful.
Mm.
So let's just sort of like remove them and just do some fresh thinking. So what are practices that are really helpful for us in delivering done increments to that offer value to our clients?
I'm kind of thinking back to what that participant told you earlier. I think one of the insights that maybe also helped us move away from those practices, even though we still use them on occasion, because they can still be helpful. But I think what helped is to really understand why we're doing what we're doing with Scrum. Mm-hmm. And when you start to understand, okay, complex work is unpredictable, so no matter what I try, it's going to be unpredictable. So story points have another purpose. It's not about creating predictability. It's maybe just about what are items that are too big to take into to pull into a sprint and that we need to refine. That's basically, for me, the only purpose of story points. And then it's okay, but it's more lightweight.
Mm.
And you can even do it without story points. Just do gut feeling.
Yeah.
Same goes for user stories. If you know that it's all about involving the customer, then you don't need user stories as a template. I mean, in your Jira product backlog, you just have that conversation with the customer because they're part of the sprint. They're being involved during the sprint.
For me, it's more like if the development team or the Scrum team itself chooses to use it, then I'm fine. And then often they're fine with it. Then it's their choice to use it. Mm. But when it's sort of like from, let's say, management or someone else in the wider environment of the Scrum team says, okay, dear developers, from now on, you're going to use user stories as the format to write on your work. And it's sort of like often not a good way to go to.
Can I admit something to you and to the listeners?
Yeah, again.
Again. when I was an agile coach, which I have been doing for a while, and some of the listeners may know me from that, so they can confirm this. When I entered an organization, one of the first things I would do is say, let's use storyboards. Mm. Let's use user stories. And that feels pretty bad when I look back on it, because maybe those teams would have benefited from something else. Even Jira, let's start using Jira. Mm. And for me, the reason for doing that was because that felt like a tangible improvement, or at least it looked like an improvement that I could introduce. And teams would be, oh, that's nice, let's try that. So it felt like they were doing something new, and for a lot of people, that's already an improvement, it's something new. So I think a reason why Scrum is so heavyweight in many organizations, even though it's supposed to be a lightweight framework, is because a lot of people that are coaching external to an organization, when they enter an organization, they add all these things because that's their way, they think that's their way of adding value to the organization.
That's true.
While they're actually doing a disservice, and I've been doing a disservice to some of the teams I've worked with as well.
Yeah, but it's true. That's what I've done as well. It's a way to show your value to the organization. Like, look at all these things that I pull out of my toolkit and that I've introduced to the organization. Yeah.
So,
but in essence, you're just adding more complexity.
Mm.
You make it even more complex.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So my, maybe as a closing thought, my tip would be make Scrum do some sort of like honest checking too. So if we are doing Scrum, has it become a heavyweight framework? Are the practices that we are using that are not part of Scrum, are they really helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Is the development team or the Scrum team really happy with using those kind of practices? And if not, then just stop using them. Makes from a lightweight framework again.
Yeah. So maybe what they could do, but then we have to add a link to that article, but they could use an ecocycle, one of the liberating structures that we always like.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a list of all the practices that you're using with your Scrum team, and then plot them on the ecocycle. Yeah. And maybe there's a lot of practices that are in the rigidity trap. You keep doing them, but they're not really adding any value.
Yeah.
If you're honest, then maybe it's time to creatively destroy them and come up with something else that works better for the organization. Even invent your own practice, because that's what Scrum is all about. Invent a local practice.
And while talking about liberating structures, do mean specs, given the purpose that we have with Scrum or as a team, do we really need to use this practice, or can we still be successful as an organization or as a development team if we would just stop using user stories or story points or whatever?
Can we just maybe encourage all the people listening to this podcast to rebel against all those practices that, if they haven't chosen for them themselves, to really start questioning why are we doing that?
Mm.
Might be very annoying, but I think it's helpful. Make it more lightweight. Make Scrum more lightweight.
Yeah. And let us know your experiences. Yeah.
Cool. So thanks for this conversation, Barry.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah. And thank you, dear listeners, for taking time out of a busy schedule to learn something new about Scrum. We hope you can use something of what you listen to, and we'll add some links to the comments that are helpful to explore maybe other practices or other things you can do, maybe the ecocycle like we mentioned. If you want to listen to more of our podcasts, go to Spotify or Stitcher, or we are also on iTunes as the Liberators Network. We try to record a new podcast every week, and we hope to see you again for the next time.
Yeah. Till next time.
Have a great day.
Yeah.